to those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is the God Journey. Welcome to 2013. Who thought we'd ever get here? Well, some of you youngins might have, but I remember back in the 70s, I heard some of the preachers of the day say we'd never make it to 1980 before Jesus would come again, and they were all wrapped up around planning for that, and boy, I can appreciate the fact that we can live every day as if his coming is imminent, and the reality is it may not come for some time, and so now we're to 2013, and for those of you for whom that's a big deal, Happy New Year. For me, not so much. The year kind of passed in. Sarah and I were just together and alone, and we enjoyed another day together, but it wasn't anything special for us. We haven't got any big New Year's resolutions going on, and Sarah's still mending from her surgery, and I got to say, doing incredibly well. Now the discipline sets in, not doing more than she's supposed to be doing, which isn't easy when you want to pick up grandkids, and you're not supposed to pick up things that weigh as much as grandkids weigh these days. But Sarah is doing well, both with her recovery from surgery, for those of you that are curious and want to know. And she's also doing incredibly well in the other part of her journey that we shared about a while back. And I tell you, it just keeps getting better and better. Seeing God bring healing and freedom into her life, the changes that that's brought to our life together has been extraordinary. Not much more to say about it other than the journey just continues and we're enjoying the fruit of it. And I love it. But what's interesting, I wrote a blog a couple of months ago about a clean slate and the fact that everything in my life that kind of was driving me for the last 5 to 7 years has all in various ways, and it's taken a lot of work, but I've managed to disentangle myself from things that were no longer spiritually rewarding. And that has kind of put me in a different spot. And I start 2013, first time ever. No trips scheduled on the horizon, though that may not be true over the next even couple of weeks because there's lots of people we're talking to and things that God may do. But I have been able to begin a year with an absolute clean slate, and I haven't had a cleaner slate in the last 20 years. The only cleaner slate I had probably was when, or at least as clean, was when I got kicked out of the co-pastoring role I had by people who I thought were being genuine with me, found out later, not so much. But that time still, I had tons of agenda. Even though I didn't have the position or income or those kinds of things, I still had a lot of agenda to drive. So maybe this slate is a whole lot cleaner. Beginning this year, I love what God's doing. I think, and I don't know how I'll even talk about it someday, but I probably will. So much of my life had become about the momentum of things that I've done in the past. And writing, the opportunities that writing opens, the number of people that want a piece of you for various reasons, the questions people want to process as they've been reading your stuff or listening to it, keeping the podcast going, keeping the blog going, interacting in the social media, on and on and on and on. And I really could just go through every day, sheerly on the momentum of things past. But what I'm discovering as I've slowed all that down, and with God's grace and direction, I've discovered that I've gotten so engaged with momentum that when all that peels back, I've lost that sense of purpose. And I don't mean totally lost it. I still have a general sense of purpose, why God's put me in the world. But you know what? I've lost sight of what it is that he wants me to do, be involved in right now. And I'm having a chance to watch that be resurrected again, and to realize for this next journey, next section of my journey, next season, if you would, man, it may not be anything like what it was before. It may be very similar, but the scriptures that have resonated in my heart are those things when Paul is saying to Timothy, complete the work God's given you to do. So a lot in scripture about God's given us a work to do. God's created us in a way, and he's given us people to love and things to be involved in. And it's not about religious performance. It's not about doing a bunch of stuff for God. It's just he's created us to participate with him in the kingdom's entry, his kingdom's entry into our world. And man, when that purpose fills your life, there's just tons of direction about what you do or how you do. And when that direction's kind of gotten lost to just the momentum and demands and managing everything coming at me, This is such a great season. I can't tell you, I haven't made any decisions yet about how I get out of it or where else I go from here. But I realize I've substituted some purpose for just chasing momentum. And I've decided I don't want to live that way. So we're kind of getting back to, okay, God, what is your purpose on this day? What is your purpose in this season? How do I best do what you've asked me to do? And that's just all good. So I'm sure more that'll come up in the long run. But for right now, that's about as much as I know about that. Though I can honestly say the inward sense of renewal day by day as I'm engaging God on some of these kinds of things, as his heart and direction kind of seeps into mine, having a ball with it. So that's good. I want to read a couple letters today, actually from the last podcast, God's Provision and Our Desires. And I got a number of email about it, some blog postings, just lots of comments from people. And I was surprised. I thought that podcast would appeal to a very slender, narrow window of people. It turns out lots of folks deal with job stuff, money stuff, vision stuff, and how all that comes together in their life. Scott said this on the blog, I enjoyed the podcast very much. The advice you gave about work and particularly about people who want to work in a more creative capacity was spot on. As a friend of mine used to say about his job, it's my living, but not my life. I like that. One of the reasons he didn't take many promotions was to keep his time available for the things God gave him to do outside his job. But he was still grateful for his job. Our passions and income do not have to be tied together. Thanks for your wise counsel. And I appreciate that, Scott. I think it's a great point. I hope that's one we made in the podcast. But boy, disconnecting who I am from what I do and how income comes to my life isn't necessarily the passion I have for life. And there's room for both. And sometimes you got to make that room a bit. Two longer letters, though, I want to share, even though I'm alone in the podcast booth this morning. I'm not alone because I've got a couple of other guys who've written me some lengthy letters and some wonderful thoughts in here. So I'm going to interact with them today and you as we talk about it. Dwayne wrote me this. I want to thank you for the podcast, God's Provision, Our Desires. It's encouraging to hear of your dependence on God for your life direction, relationships, ministry, and finances. When I hear of the transition that occurred in yours and Sarah's life 15 to 20 years ago, I think of where God is leading my wife and myself. Our story hasn't worked out quite like yours and Sarah's, but Father is still drawing us into a deeper relationship with him through his love. 2 years ago, I left a position in a local fellowship as a worship/small group pastor. Although God allowed me to minister in the institutional church for 12 years, I know Father has been tweaking my perspective of the Christian journey since I was in my early 20s. I've always struggled with the mechanical aspect of relating with others in church gatherings. Very rarely does it feel natural or spontaneous like it does when you spend time with family or go home for the holidays or meet with an old friend to talk. And that's a lovely definition of community. Community is not like we're in a meeting with mechanics that have to be all resolved right. Community is the simple exchange of life between people who genuinely care about each other and put their friendships above any other consideration. And I think that's a powerful way to look at it. So he says, since I left my career in the church, we've struggled financially. I haven't found full-time work or been able to fall back on my previous profession. Instead, I work part-time as a lab technician for an eye care center. Also, my wife and I have spent the last year or so attempting to start a floor care business. And when God provides the opportunity for me, I facilitate worship through song at some local fellowships. We haven't been able to make our house payment for nearly a year, but the miraculous thing is we're still in our home. Unlike you, where God has provided the funds to make our debt obligations, we have struggled to make ends meet. Credit card payments are late, etc., etc. I wanted to write to say that despite where we are in our journey, life is good. I love that. Yeah, the challenges are there, and no, they're not being able. And notice, this is not a creative guy with a guitar sitting on his couch hoping God provides, not making house payments. This is a brother who's doing what he can do, what he's found to do, what the opportunity is, and now he's navigating a life that doesn't have as much provision in it as he would hope and as I would want for him. I wrote him back and said, I'm praying for you, bro. I'm praying that God will show you a way to provide and work your way out of whatever debt kinds of issues, and the fact that you get to be in your home while that's happening is a good thing. And I appreciate in this economy and some of the struggles that people have, man, there are just times when we are depending on God and really risking an awful lot because just the nature of what we can find to do in this age. But it's not, and that's, I think that's what I was trying to say, don't just pursue your creative pursuits if it's not somehow footing your bills. And I like that he's doing what he can do, even if it's only working part-time. But I love what he said, life is good. I believe God needed to remove most everything from me so that I would slow down and see him for true who he truly is. Now, I wouldn't quite say it that way, Dwayne. That may be how it is for you, and that may be how you see it and what God's doing. I don't know that God removes stuff to teach us stuff. But I think when stuff does get removed because of the world we live in, he's right there to give such reality to it. You almost look back and say, how could he have done it without this? And that can be whether you've been hurt in a congregation of people, whether you've been betrayed by people, and you get into space and go, wow, if that hadn't happened, I would never have gotten here. And I'm always reticent to go there. Because I don't know that God just, I'm going to take all your stuff away so you're going to learn something about me. But I think we go through tough times, and when it happens for almost all of us, when our life slows down and we don't get the things that we want or desire, and we're not so busy with the complications of life, it does bring us back to at least the option of going deeper with God. Certainly, it also brings the option of I'll just pile more stuff on my life so I don't have to deal with my inner loneliness. But I do like when I hear these kinds of things, when it slows down and I get to see him for who he really is. Dwayne continues, he wants to reveal himself and his heart to us. And for the past several months, we've been able to consider many of the thoughts you've shared through the God Journey live stream. My wife and I do not know what the future holds for us, but we are in one of the best places we have ever been in our lives. Here's someone that's not making a house payment, being able to still be in the home because I guess the delay in foreclosures or whatever, not necessarily being able to pay off their credit card bills, and yet being able to say one of the best places we've ever been in our lives. Our marriage is strong. Our faith in Father is growing tremendously. We are in the world sharing God's love, and we are fulfilled and happy. Our children have struggled a bit with this transition, but I trust that God is working uniquely through each of their lives too. Having previously been in full-time ministry, I can honestly say that much of what I did back then was enjoyable, but in many ways empty. Being creative and putting together the show fulfilled my musical and theatrical passions, but my joy was fading. Now I've committed myself to waiting on God for opportunities to minister within my passion. I find joy in serving others where they are. I attempt to love them through serving, support, encouragement, and kindness. And because of how Father is using me, using you and your unique skill set, my heart jumps as I consider God's love for me. Man, if my life helps encourage that in people, I am immeasurably blessed. To fulfilled in what God's doing, to come back to the simplicity of it. Sarah and I have been reading Proverbs lately. And I know many people, particularly the grace crowd that, you know, screams legalism at everything, runs from the book of Proverbs. It's just a whole lot of, here's the right way to live. Here's the way that will hurt you and hurt others if you live that way. There's a whole lot of integrity, character, honesty kinds of issues. And then there's the people who have no integrity, dishonest, willing to lie about all kinds of stuff, willing to take advantage of acquaintances to fulfill their own inner needs, no priority for relationship or friendship at all, willing to toss a friendship aside. And what Solomon says, this really rich guy, who, you know, king, he had everything he ever wanted and generally messed that up toward the end of his days. He would say over and over again, you're better to have a little and be happy than to have a lot and be miserable. Better that you've got very little because you've been honest than have all kinds of wealth because you lie well. Better to have a contented home than anything. Better to have wisdom than jewels and rubies and gold and silver. And what I love about Proverbs, there is a way to live that makes sense. There's a way to live in the world that God says is based on character, integrity, honesty, passion for the right things. And there's a way to pursue the seduction of the world, fame, fortune, in which everybody you know is just a tool to get what you want. And you latch on to people who benefit you, discard them when you don't need them anymore. And what Proverbs says about that life is, you know, it looks great on the outside. Everybody wants that life. Everybody wants that status. What he says is, and not only is it destructive to the people it touches, it's destructive to the person it lives in. And that's why Paul, I think, comes back to, you know, learning to be content in whatever circumstance we're in. If you have a lot, be content with a lot and see how God wants you to navigate through that. And Proverbs is a whole lot about being generous. And when you lend, when you give to the poor, you are giving to God. And there's a whole way of living life that Sarah and I read it because Proverbs reminds us where we want to live our lives. And we'd rather live it with integrity and be taken advantage of than to live defensive and taking advantage of others and finding ourselves in a really, really empty place. And Duane, I love that you'd write me a letter like this, and I love that you're finding your way into God's joy. You're 2 years into this. I know the provision thing probably isn't fully working out yet. But you're in the process of it. And when you're in the process of it, the fact that you lack right now isn't the overriding reality. And I just, for any of us, whether it's loneliness and not having connections that we'd like to have, whether it's not having the income or the job that we think would be fulfilling or we'd like to have, learning to be content in the circumstances you're in and give greater credibility to the important things like family and others and loving and living in the world as a lover. And I love that. That's a great letter. Appreciate that, Duane, very much. And then I want to read you this. And this letter actually comes from a friend of mine. I've referred to him before on here. We tried to set up a Skype call at one point to talk about some of these things, and it just didn't work out in terms of the quality of the connection that we had. But he's written me a letter in response to that podcast, and then actually an earlier letter that I want to go back and talk about in a minute. And I just want you to hear what he's learned. Now, I've known Daryl for 30 years, probably. We were both on staff in congregations in the same city. That's where we first met. He enjoyed The Naked Church. First time he'd read it, that led to a personal connection and some conversation, and found out we both had some similar passions about God's life and hope that the congregational fellowships that we were in could be renewed or reformed into something more effective than we saw them being. We had a lot of time to share that, share passion, share desire. We both ended up outside of the institutions we've been a part of somewhat about the same time. I think I was a little bit earlier than he was. And he went into a business venture. But listen to where our lives went. I mean, I live now 20 years later. I'm still with my wife. I'm doing somewhat the same things that I had passion for 20 years ago. And we've ended up in a fairly spacious place. And Daryl's life on the outside, the physical symptoms of it, very quickly after the ministry thing imploded for him, went into a business venture. That business venture ended up tearing his marriage apart by his wife's choice. His wife ended up leaving him for his business partner. And that sent him on a journey he was not expecting. And he's ended up, I think Daryl would probably say the same passion, gifted guy in music, gifted guy in sharing things with people about growth. But he went on a bit of a different journey that he would say himself. I know this because he said it on the practice podcast we did that we couldn't save. Talked about, you know, crashing pretty bad, asking some pretty serious questions. And being his friend, I was looking at him sometime going, man, you're really getting on the fringes of losing sight of who God is. And yet I just kept loving him, hanging in there with him, because I felt like God had his hand on his life. And even though some serious things were being questioned in his heart and life, he's going to come up on a good side. And let me just, now he's ended up some 20 years later, as he'll tell you in a moment, he's works at a Home Depot and just giving advice in the hardware department. And he's single. His wife left him, never came back. He's a great relationship with his kids, but that's never come around. He's moved to 5 or 6 different places as he seems to have been led by God, and sometimes out of great pain and sometimes out of direction. And he wrote me this after the last podcast about God's provision. He says, your thoughts on the last podcast got me thinking about the jobs that many of us have that may seem dead end and not fitting our giftedness or passions. I know that it may seem that Father has given me a job that doesn't make any sense. It's hilarious. I am not the handyman, fix-it kind of guy, yet here I am right now working in hardware at Home Depot. I'm learning about tools and building stuff and getting pretty good at it. Well, talking about it anyway. What Father has taught me through living this life is that He is the provider. There needs to be no pressure or stress. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He provides, and all I have to do is what He leads me to do each day, which is showing up at Home Depot, do the best that I can do with what He's asked me to do, and share His love with those around me, and then go where He leads the next day. It's easy, because His expectations are doable. Much of the pressures we feel when we work are the expectations of the world, our bosses, management, corporations, etc. All are set up with a plantation mentality. You are there to make them money. They don't really care about you. You are only valuable as you make money for the company. So when we just live in obedience to Father's leading, we're not controlled by the expectations of others. We serve Father in the work that is laid out before us. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It is when we are fearful of losing our job, not making enough money, or controlling our destination or career, that jobs get difficult and joyless. I love that. And I know this. The language of Paul is a little bit controversial in Colossians and Ephesians, where he's even telling people who are bond servants, who are servants to other people, to serve their masters as if they're serving Christ. Not just, ugh. In this day and age, the whole idea of slaves just kind of turns our stomach, and yet there is a grace inside of God to serve well the people in your life you're meant to serve. And yet not get caught up in meeting all of their expectations as if the fulfillment of your life resides in them. It's unto God that these things are part of our lives. So he continues, Daryl, I realize that the desire of my heart, my prayer, is that Father's will be done, not mine. Now, is there any way Father wouldn't answer that prayer? Right now, it is His will that I work at Home Depot. Will it change? I don't know. But it will be His will that is being accomplished no matter what. I have to rest in that. Whatever He leads, whatever He gives us to do, we just do it, and it will never be too much. We serve Him, not the company. When we do what He desires, it will be best for all involved, even if everyone else doesn't understand that. I like, you don't have to throw the, you know, write the Jesus graffiti in everybody's face. And I you know, we just had lunch with somebody today that I've never met before. I was out in the area, and we talked about, you know, that penchant people have to evangelize everything that moves, and it's got to throw Jesus and the Roman road in the path of everyone they meet, because someone might go to hell and God's going to charge them with doing it because they didn't. Instead of, I love Daryl, just loving people in front of me. And I don't have to tag it with the Jesus graffiti. And they don't have to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, but that will make him, notice, that will make him a good employee where he is and an effective ambassador for Christ in a world where he's living the life, not talking the life. He continues, I so appreciate how Father is showing you, me, the rhythms of his kingdom. Somewhere I heard that Father leads, the enemy drives. We've been barreling along in that freight train, and we need to jump off. We have been led to believe that performance, drivenness, and accomplishment is the way we are to live life. Like you shared, do more, do better. It's not about what we do. It's about being led by the shepherd and going where he leads. It seems, at least in Psalm 23, he leads us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us to still waters. He restores our souls, etc. It doesn't sound driven to me. What I have been finding is that in the absence of knowing where he is leading and when he leads, he empowers. I don't do anything and wait until there's clarity and peace. I'm finding that I can't usually be motivated by guilt, fear, shame, or greed. That's good. The only thing that is really a motivator now is love. There is peace that happens when you are motivated by that. It used to be that fear, guilt, shame, and greed were the main motivators of my life, and that has been slowly changing. It's funny that when love started to become what motivated me, I ended up really not doing much at all because I didn't understand love that well, and I didn't love that much. So for quite a while, I seemingly did nothing. At least that's what it felt like. But I wonder if sometimes this Calvinistic work ethic that developed when we believed that the righteous who were to be saved would be prosperous is a curse that we live under. The more stuff we have, the harder it is to jump off the train. I'm knocking around the thought that maybe the kingdom life is living, trusting Father's provision, like the provision of manna in the wilderness, plenty for each day, but no need to hoard in case he decides not to send it. I'm not saying he won't at times give a person lots of money, but it seems kingdom life would still be one with a little bit more simplicity. When one has time and means to spend with the Father and do his bidding with the blessings a person has received. Seems that drivenness can really be just another disguise for performance, the need to be valuable and empty works. Yes, I know, I know. Father will have stuff for us to do. I'm just thinking that maybe what he asks us to do is much less than what we think. And I think what Daryl gets to is the real difference between doing stuff for God, which religion and our own personal flesh will drive us to all kinds of things that are exhausting, and learning to live alongside God and the work that he's called us to do. And here's a man, Daryl, I've had this conversation a lot, because here's a man that 20 years ago, we were in relatively similar places, a lot of opportunity inside systems, feeling alienated from that, feeling like God was doing something else. My life went on in a way that brought Sarah and I closer together, our marriage much deeper, much richer. Daryl lost his. I've been able to continue to write and talk to folks about this journey, which I love to do. And Daryl ended up an associate at Home Depot, and he's had a number of other jobs like that getting here. What I love is the externals don't matter. What matters is what's going on in the heart. And I'd say to you today, and Daryl and I have had this conversation, I think we're roughly in the same place today. The physical outward extremities of our lives are incredibly different. But the contentedness, the learning to live love, the learning to do what Father's asked of us, the walking in his provision, be it a little, be it a lot, and finding the freedom to be a lover in the world and not driven by our need to have success, by our need to be thought well of by people who don't count. I like, you know, Daryl, you got to think maybe Daryl's family, close friends from years ago, are looking at where he ended up thinking, man, you made a lot of bad decisions. And I've known that kind of sense that others around you think you did stupid and you've done wrong and now you're paying for it. And I love that he lives with such a contentedness, a learning to love in the things he's done. I want to tack on to this a letter Daryl wrote me probably 3 months ago. And this is one that we were going to talk about too on air. And hopefully someday Daryl and I will get out some Skype stuff so we can hear it with you. It says this, I'm discovering that one of the wonders of Father's love is freedom from that tyranny of having to prove my value by the things I do, the status I have, my achievements, and how spiritual I am. The difficult thing about it is that what I have to crucify, that old identity that cries out in dismay, as all the illusions of what I thought I was shattered. The illusions that the world reinforces as what is really valuable in life. Finding out that intelligence is not important, plus the revelation that I'm really not so smart, that my righteousness is just filthy rags, that my pride has to die so that he can live his life inside of me. It's funny how I've held on to pride in the face of my brokenness and need. I wanted an identity and value based on what I did, performance abilities, and successes of life. Maybe I would be an amazing teacher, or a businessman, or have a ministry. Well, I'm just an associate at Home Depot. Living one day at a time, being blessed by the little blessings he sends each day, I guess what I've learned is that because I asked him for it, Father's agenda for my life is happening. And it's a better agenda than what I think should happen, or my own agenda. I guess I thought that journey would restore all the things I lost when I followed him. Maybe I'd have a ministry. Maybe he would restore a family, a house, a middle-class lifestyle. I don't know what's ahead for me, but I know it is good. No matter the circumstances, his agenda is being accomplished, and I am in his agenda for me. I know Father has taken his time to teach me humility. It has taken a lot, and even now I can find myself trying to build myself up, be important in some way, be noticed, get compliments. I think I'm learning that as Father asks us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, it strips us from the identity that was constructed upon our drivenness, fears, shame, and greed. It seems as if when someone's life is touched or I have this love for another, my realizing that it is Father speaking through me, it is his spirit, his love, his compassion, I'm lucky enough to get to experience it and share it with those he desires me to share it with. He gets glorified rather than me. He has humbled me and continues to humble me in his compassion and love. There is little in my life that the world considers successful. I work every day at a Home Depot. I failed at ministry, business, career, loss of all my money, most of my possessions, any status that I might have garnered. But strangely enough, there is a peace and rest knowing that I'm loved by my Father, and He has been and will continue to be faithful to provide my needs and lead me into His agenda for my life. Man, let that sink in, because I guess this letter probably means more to me than any of you listening could possibly understand. Because these are not just words on a paper. I know this brother. I know what's behind it. I know his passion. I know he'd love to be in an environment where he could share his journey with other people in, quote unquote, a ministry kind of role. But what I love is he is finding that ministry and that fulfillment just in the relationships God has around him. He's finding contentedness in the very things that God's asked him to do. And he's finding the freedom not to be held in high esteem by people who measure things like income, possessions, impressive job, achievements, resumes, all those things, which it's not that Daryl's not capable of those, didn't want those, wasn't hoping for those. I said God took him on a bit of a different journey. And in that, my friend Daryl has learned to live deeply and fully in the life of Jesus. And he's come to the richest of possessions, which isn't material at all. The richest possessions are the treasures that are laid up in eternity, the discovery of what real life is for Daryl, the lack of illusions, the lack of being driven, the lack of having to be successful. As people say, we try to impress people we don't like with things we don't want, or something like that. Daryl's finding, and he'd be the first to admit that because we talk quite a bit, Daryl and I, when we get the chance, both on the phone, and we've crossed paths at times in the world. And I think he'd be the first to say he's not arrived anywhere. These are not the letters of a man who's arrived at a place. This is a brother who's finding great contentedness in this season of his life. And he's even hoping, I think you catch the drift of it, he's hoping sometime this won't always be, but for today, it's fine. And if it's there tomorrow, that's fine. And that he didn't have to chase the things that our culture says you have to chase to be a fulfilled life. And the fact is, he's finding more fulfillment here. We all know the stories of people who have much, who have the pedigree, have the achievements, have the things that everybody looks at. And you look at celebrities in the world, many of them, they have all this stuff, but man, their lives are a mess. I've been in homes of people who have great money, great reputation, whose personal lives, family life is just a mess. They live in a hellhole of darkness, and all their achievements and other things are just a substitute for what they lack on the inside. And though they hold up a great image, the image is hollow. I love Daryl. He's been a good brother of mine for a long, long time, and will continue to be as it unfolds. And Daryl, I appreciate the honesty with which you share your life and being able to open it up, the good and the bad, and share the lessons that you're learning and the freedom that you're having. And it's not with boasting and, hey, look at me, I'm a great guy, I've got it all figured out. Just a brother on a real and wonderful journey. And it has circumstantially fallen in very different places than my own. And yet, the things we both treasure, the most important things in this life, we hold in common, and we share in his life. And man, I'm grateful to know you. I'm grateful that the things that you've gone through, which have been incredibly painful, have produced such wonderful fruit in your life. And I know that will go on to bear not only to your benefit and blessing, but to other brothers and sisters who get to be near Daryl because they're looking for something in the hardware department at Home Depot. And that life gets to touch theirs. And so wherever you end up, I mean, like I said, I've had a ton of email from that particular podcast, really striking deeply at our provision, what the world says about our jobs and what it's supposed to mean about what a cool person we are, what a great person we are, depending on if we've got the job or the possessions that appeal to people. And to realize that life does not consist of one's possessions. Jesus said that kind of stuff. Our life is really found in Him. The freedom to live loved and to press that love onto others. Well, Daryl and Dwayne, thank you for sharing a bit of your lives with us by way of letter. Wish you could have been here in the podcast booth with us. It does get lonely here from what I've been used to in the past. Missed being able to interact on some of that stuff with someone face-to-face, so I guess we're going to have to start those God Journey auditions sometime and see where else that goes. So I guess the heart of it is simply this. Learn the joy of contentment where you are. Learn to follow. So when God leads you somewhere else, you're ready to go. And then relax in the joy of His unfolding.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.